The Holy Spirit is in this place. The Holy Spirit is in this place. God, the Holy Ghost. I believe, while I was sitting there, I just sensed the Holy Spirit speaking to some hearts already this morning. And I just want to encourage some of you that may have walked in, that you have confusion that you brought in here. You have maybe even some turmoil going on with inside yourself. But you can cry out to the Holy Ghost, because God said that He is the Comforter. And He will comfort you in that turmoil that you're experiencing. And any confusion that you may have, I want to let you know that that's not from God. Confusion does not come from God. It comes from the enemy of our souls. So I want to just pray right now. I'm going to pray for the children first, and then afterwards I'm going to pray with the children and for all of us at the same time this morning, I believe. Because I believe it even affects our children sometimes too. And even those that may be in the nursery this morning, they're also included in this prayer. And Heavenly Father, we come before You, for You're a loving, merciful God. And Your mercies are new every morning. And Lord, Your grace and Your mercy upon Your people is so unbelievable that You would give us that grace and mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Father, I pray right now through the power of the Holy Spirit that is moving sovereignly through the people right now, Lord, that He will touch the hearts and lives and already begin to speak into hearts that are sitting here right now that are sensing something, and give them that comfort. Give them a peace that passes all understanding right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, as we pray, we lift up our children this morning that are in this body at Crossfire Assembly. Lord, I pray that You'll bring comfort upon the children also. Bring a peace upon them and let them even just sense something different that will never ever leave them should Jesus tarry. That they'll remember at Crossfire Assembly when they entered that building and there were brothers and sisters of like faith, that there was a difference. There was a peace. There was a joy. And Lord, I pray that upon them right now, even as they go to their class, Lord, that that joy and that peace will permeate that room that they're in. And Lord, Sandra, who is called of You to teach these young people, I pray an anointing upon her as she gives forth Your word into these young hearts. And Lord, we thank You for them. We thank You for workers, Lord. We thank You for those You send to come alongside and help, Lord. Because, Father, this is Your church. This isn't my church. This isn't anybody else's church. It's Your church, Father. And we continue to bring that before You, Lord. We depend upon You to grow this church, to move in this church, to heal the people, to direct the people, to guide the people, to convict the people. It's through Your word, Father, that we anticipate You're with us this morning and moving through us. So, Lord, with our children right now, Lord, continue to move upon them too and speak into their hearts as Sandra gives forth that teaching this morning. And Lord, touch those that would be in the nursery this morning also. And let there be even anointing there that the young ones will be at peace. And we thank You, we praise You, and we commit the rest of this morning to You in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be dismissed, young people. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about Jesus. And Jesus is here, and anything can happen. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, if you're visiting in here this morning too, Crossfire Assembly is an independent church. This isn't for those who come here regularly to insult you, but we're a simple church. Don't get offended now. We preach the Bible here. We depend upon the Holy Spirit. We believe in healing. We believe in speaking in tongues. We believe in raising our hands and worshiping and praising God. You know, Satan hates churches like this. We're a remnant church among multitudes of remnant churches in the day we live today. And Satan hates them because many times remnant churches go with the Bible. They stay with the Bible. They exalt Jesus. When you come in here, we exalt Jesus. We do not exalt man. We do not lift man up. We lift Jesus up. And when you come in here with issues in your own life and things that you need God to speak into your heart and get healing through the Word of God and everything, it's still about Jesus. It isn't about any of us in here. It's always about Him. And when we lift Him up, He'll draw all men nigh unto Him. But as we draw nigh to Him also, He will move in your circumstances of life. See, that's what we believe at Crossfire Assembly. That's why Satan works hard to bring disruption, to tear things apart, and he'll even use God's people if necessary to do it. And so we always got to be aware, I know I do in my own life too, that we not give in to things that would bring division within a body. Amen? We always do that because we know that there's an enemy that would desire to bring division, whether it's this church or any other church. We need to be aware of that. And too many people give into that stuff. They listen to the enemy and they ruin their own spiritual lives too. They really do. People leave the church sometimes and they shouldn't be leaving. And they get out there where the enemy will fire at them. And we always want to encourage people in this church. Now, when you come in here also, I just want to comment that I believe that we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? It's God's grace that saves us. I don't believe in that we work any, not even the slightest, to get to heaven. But we're totally saved by God's grace. Isn't that awesome? But I tell you what. Walking in grace doesn't mean that we want people to be comfortable. Did you know that? We don't want people to come in here and say, I want you to be comfortable when you come in here. When anyone comes in here, and I will stand on that, I either want you mad or glad. That's the way I want you. Not because if you're lukewarm, that's no fun either. But I want you mad or glad. I want either you're upset with me for some reason, and if you are, you need to confront me and ask me, tell me why. But if God's doing something and you're joyful and you're happy with what you heard, the Holy Spirit is ministering that to your heart, amen? Amen. But we're not going to have a church where people can come in and just say, ooh, this feels good. I want conviction of the Holy Spirit to move in my life as well as yours. And so messages that I preach are not to beat anybody up, but they're messages that will disciple us. Yes. See, that's my heart. Jesus said to go and make disciples, not bums. He said, go and make disciples. And making disciples is not an easy task, even in my life, as you and I personally read the Word of God and live it out. If we truly mean business with God, we obey what He says in here, don't we? And so it takes work and dedication to do that. So my message today is authentic walk. And the one reason I got this message today is this past week and the week prior, I've run across Christians, not in this church, but I've run across Christians that I know have supposedly walked with the Lord for some time now, and their language doesn't match the word Christian. The word Christian means to be Christ-like. Means to be Christ-like. And when I get around Christians and they're doing things and saying things that I used to do before I became a Christian, I want to know where their heart is. I would like to understand them, but I would also like to speak into their life and ask them, why are you speaking and acting the way you are around these worldly people around here when God has called us to be salt and light? Amen? Amen? We're living in a day and age, people, where the world needs to see salt and light. Robin Williams needed to see salt and light somewhere within his life. And he may have had those opportunities because I believe God loves His creation and gives them every opportunity. But I tell you what, the world needs to begin to see the church as salt and light. And there's many out there that are looking for it, but they've been discouraged. They've been discouraged because they've looked at God's people who got the name of Jesus upon them, got the word Christian in their vocabulary, and it doesn't match how they're living their life. And that's got to hurt the heart of God too, because see, we represent Jesus. And I'm not talking about you got to be so perfect and so right or you're going to get slapped on the head. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking asking the Holy Spirit to help me every day of my life to be sensitive to his presence within my life, that I conduct my way in such a way that can draw people's hearts to Jesus. And that if there is an opportunity that the Lord opens up for me to minister to other people, that they're willing to listen to me because they haven't heard or seen the way I've been acting other places. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's all put our hands up like this. And let's just do like this and say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I love you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I love you, Lord. Thank you. Doesn't that feel good? To praise the Lord? We should be able to do that freely when we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? See, once we become a Christian, there is definitely a change that must take place in your and my life. Not only in the way we're thinking, but in our actions as well. There should be a change. And I'm not talking about that it's got to be instantaneously that God saves you and instantly that you're where you're supposed to be. That never happens. I'm not even where I'm supposed to be, even living for the Lord 40-some years now. You know, that's a progressive action that God does in our life as we read the Word and we fellowship and we pray and we seek the Lord. He continually is working on you and I. But there should be a change in the way we conduct our life, especially if you've been living for the Lord for a certain period of time, longer than a day or a month or even 6 months sometimes. But I tell you what, there should be a noticeable change. So today we're going to look at the A in authentic, a genuine walk with the Lord. A genuine walk speaks loud to the lost out into the world. It speaks loud to them, not only in the way we walk, but in the way we speak. When you're upset at work or upset in the home, how do you speak? What do you think? What actions do you portray? What mannerisms are protruding from your life when you're upset or the pressure's on? And I tell you what, people, as you and I strive to be like Jesus, it doesn't get easier. I'm just being honest with you. It doesn't get easier with you. People who are truly desiring to be like Jesus and to live out the life, many are the trials and tribulations of the righteous. Many, the Bible says. Because when we strive to be, look at Brother Job. Look at the trials that man, and he loved God. But look at the trials he had. You and I walk through trials within our life as we strive to be like Jesus, and the enemy tries to get us off track. And I notice that when many Christians quit striving to serve and to become like Jesus, the heat gets turned down and, oh, wow, it's easy. But they get lukewarm in their spirits. They get lukewarm in their spirits. See, what we've been saying by the way we walk and talk as Christians, and again, even in the home, how we treat our wives, how we treat our husbands, how we treat our children, there's always somebody that our life is affecting, isn't it? We need to understand that there is a difference between authentic and ordinary believers. And I found this pastor, Benny Perez, wrote this. He said, ordinary believers are afraid of giants. Authentic believers kill them. Ordinary believers seldom forget. Authentic believers always forgive. Ordinary believers fight for their rights. Authentic believers have no rights. Ordinary believers fear death. Authentic believers have already died. Whew. I like that. I'm dead in Christ. I'm not like the world anymore. My old past is dead and gone. Buried, thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. I just told somebody yesterday or the day before at a job, I told him, I said, you know, I hear people giving testimony after testimony, and they're saying how they did this and how they did that. We need not be saying those things out loud to people around us. We just need to say, I was once a dirty old sinner, and Jesus saved me. That's all they need to know, because why tell God again what a creep you were? He forgot. He threw it in the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember it again. Why bring it up to somebody else? I believe that you're standing in front of people and you can say, I was a sinner. I did all the wrong things, but Jesus Christ chose me, he saved me, he delivered me, and he's working in my life today. And I've got a long way to go. Amen? That's what we should be doing instead of glorifying our past. And many times Christians go back into that life because they're still talking about it. And sometimes they're hanging around the people that are living in it, and then they wonder why they never have victory in their life to get out of it. Because God says, come out from among them and be ye separate. I don't go into bars and drink with friends anymore. I did when I was lost. I don't anymore. God delivered me and he called me out. And I could go back in, but I love Jesus so much I don't want to. See, when you fall in love with Jesus, it's easier to make a decision for Jesus. And that's what I want to do, is to keep falling in love. I remember when my wife and I first got saved, Jimmy Swaggart had a gentleman on there. I can't think of his name, but he had a song that he sung, I keep falling in love with Jesus over and over, over and over again. I keep falling in love with Jesus over and over and over again. And I tell you what, when he was singing that, the anointing was flowing through his congregation. Because that's what we need to do. We need to keep falling in love with Jesus. Did you know that when you and I fall in love with Jesus, we begin to love each other's? Did you know that? We're not getting nitpicky and critical and gossipy, but we're literally loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're moving into the time, should Jesus tarry, we're moving into the time where we need each other's even more and more. More and more, people. It's coming. It's coming. Persecution is coming to America. And we'll find out how important my brothers and sisters in Christ will really be. And we'll need each other's. So let's, if you've got something negative to think about, or you don't like something somebody said or did or whatever, lift them up in prayer to God and say, God, move in their life. But Lord, change my heart too to be able to receive them. Amen? That's what we do as Christians. So we're going to use 1 Thessalonians if you have your Bibles with you today too. And I haven't said this for a while, but bring your Bibles to church. I know you got these little computer things that you walk around with. Little iPhones, iPads, but bring the I Am. You know, because there's somebody that needs to see the Bible. They need to see people that are dedicated to come to a church where we open the Bible up and read it. That's what we need to do. And so I don't forget, I'm going to say this too with a little interruption here. I haven't said this for a long time either. If you haven't been handing out tracts, ask the Holy Spirit to give you opportunities and look for opportunities to leave a tract somewhere or to put into somebody's hands. I still do. I hand these out. I witness to somebody. I give them a follow-up tract to put in their hands. Or if I don't have time to witness to them and it's a situation, I just say, would you please read this when you get an opportunity and hand them one? Be evangelistic in your, because how many in here love Jesus? How many in here got Jesus Christ living within you? Don't you want to share the good news that Jesus delivered you from an eternal hell? This is the way to do it. I've got good news for you. You want to know why? Read this. That's my testimony. One of them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, the book of Thessalonians has an overwhelming theme in it, which is the coming of the Lord in relations to the believers' encouragement, their comfort, their watchfulness, and their sanctification. That's the theme of the book. The theme we should be aware of is in our lives is the same. Jesus is coming back. Now, I'm one of the pastors that I say that a lot, because a lot of churches don't say it anymore, but I say it because Jesus Christ is coming back. It could be before we get out of this room today. Wouldn't that be awesome? The trumpet may sound, and all of a sudden, hopefully all empty chairs and an empty pulpit. Praise the Lord. But he is coming back for his church. And how should we be living in the meantime, people? Just ask yourself that. Let the Holy Spirit put in your hearts right now. How should we be living our life in view to the fact we're living in the time of his coming? It's incredible. I had the missionary from Russia call me here this last week, and he just wanted to call up and say, let's let iron sharpen iron. He needed encouragement. He said his crew over there in Ukraine right now, they're weary and they're tired because of the war that's going on over there. He says, but we haven't let up, and we're going to keep going forward. He said, we need prayer. We need prayer over there. And that's what we need to do. Iron sharpens iron. We come together. We encourage one another. See, if Paul is writing to this church about the importance of the Lord's return and how to live until this happens, surely it's important for us to heed the words as well, isn't it? If it was just we live by grace and live any way we want, why would the Lord even put that within his scripture? But the Lord knows that we need this. That's why he put it in there, and we need to preach it too. We can't avoid things that may seem like it's hard to receive, but we have to do the hard things too. So, I don't know about you, but sometimes I just need a good old swift kick in the pants. Don't you? You need a reminder where you're at. You need to, and sometimes God will use a brother or sister in Christ or a preacher, evangelist, or missionary, but sometimes we just need the good old-fashioned kick in the pants to get with it. In love, of course. I love you. We do it in love. Will Rogers, I've used this in the past, but I like it so much I'm going to do it again. Will Rogers said, live in such a way that you would not be ashamed to sell your parrot to the town gossip. Isn't that a good one? Praise the Lord. That means you better not be gossiping, because the parrot's going to tell the other gossiper. See, the Bible teaches us that a real Christian will have certain character traits that will differ from a non-Christian. Different from the world, different from somebody who doesn't know Jesus. You know, when I say that also, I think I just talked to somebody recently about, we were taught fellowshipping, and they told me that they just try to live the best they can. They live a nice life hoping somebody sees they're different. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. How do they know what made you a good person in their eyes, a better person? If you don't tell them about Jesus, how will they know? Because people, there's a lot of good people in the world. Did you know that? Some people out in the world are better than some people in the church. They're a lot nicer sometimes. And so you can't just live a good life and say, I'm being a witness for Jesus. You got to let it verbally come out of your mouth too. And it's not only our actions, but it's got to be our lips. See, walking a Christian walk is not a request, but it's a requirement. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Wow, did you hear that? Be at peace among yourself. See, it's important to know that the preacher you're listening to is truly preaching the Word of God. That's important. And today there's many that they don't even care about that. They just want to feel good. But I tell you what, you need to go to a church, listen to a preacher that is preaching the Word of God and giving the whole counsel and not just the part that makes us feel good so that we can say, I really like it here. We need to go to where the Word is being preached. Ephesians 4:11 says, and he gave. By the way, God does the calling. When it says he gave, God does the calling. Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God does the calling, doesn't he? See, when Christ sets up his church, he gifted the church with leaders. This passage is directly talking to the church about their relationship to their pastor, their shepherd. That's what it's talking about. See, in my own experience as a leader and pastor through the years of living for the Lord, I found out that some people, they really don't want to know what is the right thing to do, which is sad. When they come to you in counseling, they don't like it when you give them the truth. They don't like it if you give them honest words based on the Word of God. They get upset with you, and they leave mad. And I've had people do that. I've tried to encourage them to stay in the things of God and encourage them in the part of their life, and they'll get up and get mad because I told them the truth if it's something dealing with their life that they're not focused on. Because, see, it's about them instead of about Jesus. But if you live your life for Jesus, you want to please Jesus. Yes. Amen? And I'm always going to encourage people when they come to me for any counseling or advice, whatever thing, hopefully it's going to be based upon the Word of God, to encourage them to be discipled in their walk. Listen to what Charles Crabtree, the Assistant General Superintendent of the Assemblies of God, said. Confesses that he does not consider himself a very good counselor. He says that when people come into his office for help, he listens to them and then he gives them the answer. For example, a couple came in that was in need of financial counseling. He would conclude that they are overextended, have too many credit cards. He will then ask them to give their credit cards. They would ask surprised and say, "What for?" "So I can cut them up," he would answer. They would then respond, "No way. We don't want you to do that." Then he would say, "Well, then I can't help you. Come back when you want me to help you." That was good counseling. See, we need to understand that God has set up the spiritual headship of the church, but also understand that at this point, it's his church. It's not mine again. I said that earlier. It's God's church. This is his church. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit and God help grow this place the way he wants and the way he thinks it should be. And he's going to bring the right people in at the right time, the right gifted people in at the right time. He's going to do things within this body, and we will always give him the glory that no man can take it. When no man can take it. No matter how gifted we may or may not think we are, Jesus is always going to get the glory at Crossfire Assembly of God because it's him that already has brought you in. Some of you say, "Well, I walked in here by accident." No, you didn't. And some of you maybe came in one time and left. Well, you still came in here. God wanted you in here for a reason. So I give him the glory because I sure didn't bring you in. But the Holy Spirit knows how to do it. See, an authentic Christian lives in cooperation with what God has set up according to the Word. Not only are you to respect them, but we are admonished to hold them in the highest regard and love. We're to pray for one another. Why? Because we're always right. No. Because of the work we do. It said it right in the scriptures here. By the work we do. Because of their calling and because of who called them. That's why. Because we're never always right in ourselves. But it's because of the work we do according to what this book says. See, this will help us accomplish the next point in this verse. And an authentic Christian lives a life of a servant who lives in peace with each others. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:14-15, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded," which means we're to comfort the faint-hearted. "Support the weak." And those are people who don't probably have an understanding of the cross and what it's all about and about Jesus. We're to help them, to support the weak, to come alongside. And then it goes on to say, "Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men," meaning your enemies also. We're to follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. In church, we have an obligation to live in a certain way, don't we? We do. The reason Paul is saying such a thing, this fellowship in Thessalonica, is because it's important to God, or else he wouldn't have put it in his word. It's important to God. See, I would rather much get an instruction from God like this then the warning he gave to the churches in Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God." And by the way, that represents the fullness of the Holy Spirit. "And the seven stars," it's referring to the pastors of the seven churches. "I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead." That's what he spoke about the church of Sardis in the book of Revelation. They had a name and they were very active and doing a lot of different things, but the Lord had something odd against him. He said, "You're dead. You're spiritually dead." But people go to churches like that today. They're spiritually dead. And they think just because they're whooping and hollering and doing the strobes and doing everything else that they're alive. But God says right here, He says it right here. These things saith he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest. They're recognized by the community. But I tell you what, they're dead. We need the word of God, people. We need the word of God. See, we're to conduct ourselves in such a way according to the word of God. It says in even in Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3, 15, 16, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That's God who put that in there. That's the word of God, people. He wants us to be aware of it. We're not to be just lukewarm in our walk with Jesus. We want to encourage you. I want to encourage people to get fired up for God, to get on fire for Jesus, to get radical for the Lord, to get that there spiritual part of your being going. Let the Holy Ghost begin to move in you. And if you're saying, well, I'm praying God will give me Holy Ghost boldness to live that Christian life, you'll never get it until you get out there and live it. You'll never witness to anybody. Don't pray for Holy Ghost boldness if you're not witnessing. You pray for Holy Ghost boldness, but the boldness comes as you go out and you share. That's when it comes to you. That's what I learned in my life. I was a really super shy person, and how many say amen to that? Amen. She knows. She knows. But you know something? I wanted to witness, and I found out that when my witness got greater and more of it is because I stepped out by faith even against the fear that I walked in. That's how you do it. You pray for, if you're asking Jesus for Holy Ghost boldness, you pray it as you're going out and witnessing. And this person gave me other excuses, and I said, is all they are is excuses for not going out. You're waiting for God to do this and waiting for God to do that. Well, I read in the book of Acts, when the people got saved, they went out that very day, and they went out and they were winning people to Jesus, and the church grew by what, how many? Thousands. They didn't wait around for our witnessing class, and I thank God for witnessing classes, but I tell you what, if you're born again, get saved, man, go out and tell somebody. When I got saved, the first people I told, Nancy was my wife, then I told my family. Told them all about Jesus. They didn't like me, still don't, a couple of them. But I'm still living for Jesus, too, with his help. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, if a person's lukewarm towards something, it means he hasn't rejected it. But at the same time, it doesn't mean he accepted it either. That's why being lukewarm is a very dangerous place to be. You're either hot or cold. God is consistent in his teaching. These passages go hand in hand. God is telling us, time to start walking the walk, people. We need to. Warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. We're to be patient with everyone. And that'll help us live peaceably with everyone also. Paul says, don't seek to get even. Did you know that? We got to remember that. It says in Romans 12, 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Because, brothers and sisters, when you and I get upset as Christian people and we want to retaliate back to somebody for it, that's wrong. Especially if you're a witness to somebody or you witness to somebody and they don't like it and they call you names or they resist you or whatever the case is. I've had a guy come to me and he'd get so mad he'd tell those people off. And I said, you can't do that, brother. I said, they're doing what they're supposed to do. I said, if they're mad at you because it's an offense to them, what you told them about Jesus, you got to realize that the Holy Spirit is speaking into their life. And I said, you need to pray for those people. Me personally, when people get mad at me for witnessing to them, I know I'm doing the right thing. I get excited because it must mean that I'm impacting their life in some way. And that's what we do. We don't retaliate, try to get even with them. See, a Christian is exhorted to take careful forethought that his manner of life and his outward expression conforms to and is honestly representative of a child of God. That's who we do. We represent Jesus, the God of the universe. We represent him, and the world should be able to see that in us. And then authentic attitude in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 22. It says, rejoice evermore. I like that. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying. Today in the modern church, many churches will not speak on prophesying because they're afraid it'll offend some people. It's too negative. Prophesying is a confirmation that God is alive and moving up on planet Earth. He says, don't despise prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from the appearance of evil. Didn't say it was evil. God just said to abstain from the appearance of evil. That's why I won't go into a liquor store to get a bottle of water. I won't walk in there. It's not because I'm so Mr. Spiritual or anything. It's not because I can't do it. I won't do it because I read what God says here. Abstain from the appearance of evil. It may not even be evil what I'm doing, but somebody else might drive by, a brother or sister in Christ, weak in Christ, or maybe a guy I've been witness to. He sees me walking into a liquor store. He doesn't know I went in there to get a bottle of water, does he? And he's going to say, what a stinking hypocrite. What kind of character is he telling me what he did, and then he's walking in a liquor store? That's why I take that seriously, to avoid the appearance of it. I don't want to do it. I get amazed how many Christians try to justify little petty things in their life, and they're not keeping the whole eternal perspective in there, realizing that their life has such impact on another soul, but they want to just be able to satisfy self. I won't do that. It's because I love Jesus. I want to glorify Jesus. It's not because I'm better than you or anybody else. I just want to glorify Jesus. I want to be a witness to people, not only in what I speak to them, but I want to be a witness to Jesus in my actions. I want to be authentic in my life, that if should anybody come up and ask, I'm going to have an answer for them. And the reason a lot of Christians don't, because they're not living authentic Christian lives today, and they never share the gospel because they know they're not living where they should, according to the Word of God. And I'm not talking legalism. I'm talking a love for Jesus and His grace and mercy to be shared with a lost and dying world. That's what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. We love you, Lord. Paul is telling these believers, check your attitude concerning the following areas. It's very important. A commitment is making a pledge in advance of action. In doing an attitude check, we need to pledge in advance that we will be committed to our authentic Christian walk. Be joyful always, irrespective of everyday problems. The believer has every reason to do such, don't we? Don't we? We really do. Here's an illustration. Have you ever wished somebody to have a good day, but their response was something like this? Well, I would, but I've already made other plans. That's a good one to use, by the way, at McDonald's. Be joyful some of the time. Be joyful when things are going right. Be joyful only on Sundays. Be joyful on payday. No. Be joyful always. 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 Rejoice evermore, Paul says. Rejoice evermore. Even in the midst of turmoil and trials and troubles, we have a joy within the depth of our being because we serve a living God. And there's a joy, and that joy comes from the fact that Christ in us, the hope of glory, it says in Colossians. Christ in us, our hope. That gives us a joy that the world doesn't have. We've got a joy that they don't understand. And that's why you can come to him and say, would you like to understand? If somebody says to you, why? Why does it seem like you're always joyful and always happy? You need to say, would you really like to know? And then give them the answer. That's what you do. We have a joy, and it's there always. See, a grumpy, miserable, unhappy, cranky, irritable, cantankerous, ill-tempered, grouch, crabby, gloomy Christian. That's an oxymoron. That's an oxymoron, people. We shouldn't be that way. We shouldn't be that way. We need to be joyful in our spirit. And when we share the gospel with somebody, whether we do it in our actions, our mannerisms, or the way we speak, there should be a joy that the world sees coming out of us. That when they see it, I've had one guy say to me, he said, "You really mean what you're talking about, don't you?" And I said, "Yes, I do." I said, "I love Jesus." And he knew it. Because there's a joy within each one of us who have the Holy Spirit living in us when we become born-again Christians. And then it says, pray continually. Pray for everything. Now, I'm not praying. You know when I say that, pray for everything, I'm not saying pray to go turn the lights on if the room's dark so you trip over everything. You don't need to pray about. You just need to pray about everything in life that's creating where you got to make decisions and need direction and guidance in the leading of family and doing your jobs and school and ministering or helping or whatever it is. God, we should be praying about everything always. And you can do that always, too. You don't need to pull over on the road if you're driving. You can just speak out loud to Jesus. You can pray all day long. If you're going into a situation where it's trouble or a bad meeting or something, you just need to say, "Jesus, I pray, be with me right now. Give me the words. Keep me calm. Help me to say the right things." And you can be praying continually. And the world will see that with up on you, that there's a peace that passes. There's a peace even in the midst of turmoil. I'm excited about Jesus. Hallelujah. An authentic Christian will not only pray during crisis situations, but they will always pray out of choice. We'll do it out of choice, won't we? We choose to pray. God desires to hear from his children. God loved to walk with Adam in the cool of the day. Can you imagine that relationship with his creation? He was walking with him in the cool of the day. What an incredible thing. And one day when we get to go to heaven, we get to walk with Jesus in the cool of the day. We're going to know what Adam felt like when he had the Creator standing right next to him. We're going to have our Creator standing right next to him, and we're going to be walking in the cool of the day. And when we look at this Creator, we're going to know why it's so important to be an authentic Christian today in this world that you and I are living right now, because he's making preparation for us to walk with him when we get to heaven. And we're going to be like him. For it says, when we see him, we shall be like him. And you want to get as much like him now, don't you, as you can? We need to throw off the junk. D.L. Moody said, "I'd rather be able to pray than to be a great preacher." Jesus Christ never taught his disciples how to preach, but only how to pray. Isn't that the truth? In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ concerning you. The psalmist says in chapter 100, verse 4, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." That's how we begin our prayers, people. We begin our prayers with thanksgiving and praise. We thank him. Jesus did that. Jesus thanked his Father in advance before he prayed. Remember at the grave, the tomb of Lazarus? He said, "For Lord, I know you hear me already." And he thanked the Lord already for the miracle that was about to take place, a creative miracle. And maybe we would see more creative miracles if we'd instead coming to the Lord downtrodden and labored in pain over something that's going on in our life, but we come before him and say, "Father, I already know you hear me, but I thank you in advance for how you're going to deal with this in my life. I praise you for it. You don't even have it yet, but you know it's going to happen because you went to someone who doesn't lie." And he promised he would answer your prayer. It's in the Word. He said, "I not only hear," he said, "I answer." Yes. And so you can go before him in that need you have today and say, "Lord, I thank you in advance. I praise you. I glorify you for the finances already that are mine according to your Word, that you're going to meet my need because you said you would supply all my need. And I praise you for it in advance." Yes. Can you imagine the Father's heart knowing that we trust him like that? Praise the Lord. A Scottish minister, Alexander White, was known for his uplifting prayers in the pulpit. He always found something for which he was to be grateful. One Sunday morning, the weather was so gloomy that one church member thought to himself, "Certainly the preacher won't think of anything for which to thank the Lord on such a wretched day as this." Much to his surprise, however, White began by praying, "We thank thee, O God, that it is not like this always." See, being joyful always will enable us to be thankful in every situation, not for, but in. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Don't quench the Spirit, people. The Holy Spirit is so active in you and I when we allow Him to work within us, and we quench Him so many times when we don't go to the Father and we turn away from what He wants us to do. An authentic Christian will allow the Holy Spirit to work through them. And many Christians today need to experience what it's like to have the power of the Holy Spirit move through them and in their home and their family within themselves. It's an incredible experience to have the Holy Spirit doing something in you and you not even realizing it sometimes. But He's there. He's working on our behalf. See, a non-authentic Christian will only yield to the Holy Spirit when it's convenient for them. We yield to the Holy Spirit when He's convicting our hearts on something too. We yield to the Holy Spirit. And we need to understand that Jesus has given His Holy Spirit to us. The Holy Spirit in the Bible calls the Holy Spirit a gift. It's a gift. How many love gifts? You got the Holy Ghost if you're in here this morning and you're born again, blood-bought Christian. You have the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost living within you. See, if we want to see the power of God transforming our lives on a daily basis, we need not quench the Spirit. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, and we need to recognize His presence. We need to recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit. And many times when you sit there and your heart is focused on Jesus and there's something going on in your life and you're keeping your heart and eyes and in spirit upon the Lord, you sense the Spirit moving. You can literally almost see the Holy Spirit moving. You ever witness to somebody? I just shared this the other day, not too long ago, when I witnessed to a man over in Lionel Lakes. I was sharing the gospel and I watched the Holy Spirit. I said, "Holy Spirit, open a door for me to witness to this man." And within a moment's time, this man said something that gave me the door opener to speak into his life. And then as I gave the word to him, I watched the Holy Spirit's presence begin to move in this man's eyes. His eyes were swelling up with the word as I kept giving it to him and telling him that God wants to move in his life and wants him. And I went through the whole thing. I won't go through it here, but it was incredible to watch the Holy Spirit do that. There's nothing greater than seeing God, the Holy Ghost, working in you and through you into somebody's life. And so many Christians, they miss the joy of serving the Lord. When you're not sharing the gospel and living it out according to the Word of God, there's a joy. It's not legalism, people. If you're living under legalism, then your mouth is stuck down inside of a stovepipe and you're walking around gloomy and doomy. But if you're walking in the Holy Spirit and you're doing what God wants because you love Jesus, man, the joy of the Lord permeates your being. It permeates you and the world sees it. And they say, "I want what you got." And when they say they want what you got, you know the Holy Ghost is moving on you. Because you never take glory for anything, even to a lost person when they ask. You always give the glory to God because you say, "Once I was lost, but now I'm saved." And there's a joy there, and it's the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit, you know how long the Holy Spirit works within you and I in one day? 24/7. He never quits. He never quits. 24/7. Make a commitment not to quench the fire. Make a commitment not to quench the Holy Spirit by your own selfish desires, people. If you have selfish desires in your life, I have them in my life, we need not quench the Holy Spirit. We need to get rid of those selfish desires just to make ourselves feel good. We need to do what the Holy Spirit is speaking into our life by convicting our hearts and directing us. And He may be using pastors or people to do that, brothers or sisters, or even circumstances to guide and direct. Why would anyone want to go through his life in their own power? In their own power. How many people, not only the world, but Christians who've messed up their life because they operate in their own power, trying to do things without the Holy Spirit. Here's an illustration that I picked up. It's an unknown author. He says, a new missionary was replacing a missionary when he was on a furlough back to the States. The new missionary thought he had a handle on everything. The speed, the light vehicle parked across the street pointing downhill. The missionary tried to start the vehicle, however, there was no power. He thought to himself, this must be why the former missionary parked the car like this, so he can roll the car downhill and jumpstart it. And this is how the new missionary started the car for his entire 3-month stay. There were times when the car died on him and he had to get the local children to help him push the car, using their strength and his. On the return of the former missionary, the younger one commented to the wisdom of the older one in positioning the car. The older missionary looked puzzled and walked out to the car, lifted the hood, and noticed that the battery cable had become loose. He put the cable back on the car, started it right up. How many times do we try in our own ingenuity, our own strength, to accomplish the task at hand? We need to make sure we are connected to the power source, why we should want to go through life unconnected. You need to cry out to the Holy Ghost for help. Test everything. Hold on to the gospel. Revelation 2:13, as I'm getting close to the end here, real close. Revelation 2, verses 13 through 16. Pergamum, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. That's interesting. You've got to ponder on that one when you read that. And thou holdest fast my name and has not denied my faith. We haven't denied it. Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you. Did you hear that? Slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. I wonder if Satan goes to church. The Lord tells me here, even where Satan's seat is, and here this martyr says, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. And then God says, repent. That means come back to the cross. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against within the sword of my mouth, which is the word of God. And then in Revelation chapter 2 in Thyatira, it says, and unto the angel of the church in chapter 2, 18 and 20, and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, these things saith the Son of God, who has his eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass, is describing our Lord. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. That's some pretty heavy things God's warning about, isn't it? In the end time churches, we're experiencing that today. There's people filling pulpits today, giving false information out, adding to the Word of God, subtracting from the Word of God, changing the Word of God, tampering with the Word of God. We need to be aware of it, people. We need to be aware of it. See, the Lord is speaking of spiritual fornication and adultery, which means they had forsaken Christ and the cross and other things. We need to guard our hearts. And we do that by living authentic lives for Jesus, being authentic, genuine Christians in a world. The way you test everything is by following the example of the Bereans, for they received the message with great eagerness and examine the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. I like that. That is why you need to bring your Bibles to church and also write the scriptures down so you can take it home and examine them yourself. Don't believe me. Believe what the Word of God says. Believe what the Word of God says, people. Because maybe the Holy Spirit might be dealing with you differently than even what the pastor preached. Because, see, I learned a long time ago, this is a living word. And it always comes to life at the right time in my life when I need it. It's living. There's an appropriate time for a lot of the scripture in here. I may read something today and it means absolutely nothing to you, but maybe 2 months down the road, something will come into your life and you'll say, I remember that verse in church. The Holy Spirit will bring it to your attention. And then we're to avoid every kind of evil. And people, we need to do that even in the privacy of our homes. We need to shut the TV off away from evil. We need to shut the TV and the internet off away from evil. We need to do that in the privacy of our home because that's where the true walk of our Christianity is. And we need to do it when nobody else sees, only our Heavenly Father. We need to avoid every kind of evil. Or if there's anything that you consider evil in your home, you need to get it out. We need to make a pledge to stay away from evil, every form of evil. Not that we would just pray for holiness, but we would practice it. Remember when I said pray for Holy Ghost boldness? When you pray for holiness, you live holy. The holiness comes as you and I make decisions and choices in life. And I bring you to the last point, cleanliness. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming, meaning the rapture of the church, of our Lord Jesus Christ. The rapture of the church. And when Jesus comes, he's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. Did you know that? Without spot or wrinkle. Forget the preachers to say a little messy's okay. Forget them. I don't know where that's coming from, but God does mind a little messy. See, filth will not enter heaven. And if I sit and tell you people, it's okay, you can be a little messy in your Christian walk if you want. You're not going to be just a little messy. Some people become really messy. And some people will walk away from Jesus because messy takes us back into the world. God told us to come out from it and be separate, to be holy. And that's what he's calling. And I'm not talking legalism again. I keep bringing it up in case this is being recorded, right? Okay. I'm not talking legalism. It's a choice that we want to live according to the Word of God. And he doesn't force us. He doesn't beat us. He encourages us through his Word. He gives us the free will to make the decision. And this is the guidelines that we follow as his Word of, amen? And then lastly, Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness. Did you hear that? Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. God's not going to take filth into heaven. He sees that the Christian who is working to be like Jesus, he sees that. He sees for some of us, it's a real struggle. Some of us can get victory over something in our life very easily, but maybe our brother or sister in Christ, for whatever reason, they're weak in the faith and they're having such a struggle. We don't condemn them and judge them. We pray for them and lift them up, and God sees the heart of man. He sees when we desire to live a holy life. He sees what we're doing, if we truly are desiring that. And he sees it when you and I come along, someone that's struggling in sin in their life or weaknesses in their life, and we say, you can make it. Come on, man. You ever have somebody come up to you and say, hey, I wish I was like you? And I always say to him, no, you don't want to be like me. You want to be like Jesus. Because one day I would let you down. With that, I ask you to please stand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. See, holiness, people, is not an option. It's not an option. This is an attitude of an authentic Christian choosing a life of righteousness. A holy life will make the deepest impression. Lighthouses blow no horns. They just shine. Did you know that? D.L. Moody said that. The first century church made its greatest impact on the world when it chose to live least like it. Paul and Silas rejoice in prison, and the Philippian jailer was converted. As believers today, we need to walk the walk of Christianity. The non-Christian will be convinced that serving Christ is the way by observing our example. Christians would not have such a hard time in sharing their faith if they walked their faith. Does your lifestyle preach? Does your lifestyle preach an authentic Christian? With every head bowed, please. Is there anyone in here that would agree with me? And I'm going to put my hand up in advance. Because I'm always preaching to me when I preach sermons, by the way. I'm not Mr. Perfect. But how many would raise your hand with me and say, I need to work harder to be that authentic Christian? I have things in my life that I know that I can improve on and that I've not been improving on, but just by my own choice, not wanting to live that way. See, the Lord sees our hands. He knows. He doesn't judge us or condemn us. He wants to come alongside His Holy Spirit and encourage and help us. So, Father, you see these hands that are raised right now. And, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to convict our hearts and lives in every area of our life or the areas that we see ourselves faltering, Father. I would pray the Holy Spirit will convict us to a point where we will choose to repent, to turn away from, or to surrender to you those areas of our life in order to be more like Jesus, in order to impact the world around me, in order to impact my home, in order to impact my wife, in order to impact my husband, in order to impact my children, in order to impact all my relatives and all my friends. Lord, help me to be an authentic Christian for you. Let your word move and work within me. You may put your hands down now. Is there anyone that walked in here this morning? You say, I've never, ever given my life to Jesus. If I were to die, I don't even know for sure where I'd go. Or maybe you're in here this morning and say, well, I'm a Christian because I'm so good, or I've done good things, and I paid money in the church, and I don't swear, I don't gossip, I don't do things like that. Is there anybody in here? But you still, you say you go to heaven. If you believe you're going to heaven by those things, you will miss heaven. Jesus said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, no, not one. And the wages of sin is death, separation from God. So God, Jesus invites you right now to surrender your life. Is there anybody in here said, I need to give my life to Jesus? I need to learn that authentic Christian life also, and I want to be one of you. Is there anybody in here this morning? I do this whether I know everybody in here may have made that or not. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who does the work, not me. I'm not going to belabor it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your guidance of your word. We thank you for the exhortation of your holy word, Father. And Lord, we thank you that you're willing to show us and direct us and guide us by your Holy Spirit according to your word to live out this life. And Father, I thank you for that. I know you're working and preparing us to be more like Jesus for that day when the trumpet sounds, that we're not caught off guard, but that we are literally watching and looking. Lord, you said you're coming for those who love the appearing of your coming, who look for it. You said, Lord, for those who are looking for it, who love your appearing. And Lord, maybe some aren't looking for your coming and not loving your appearing because maybe they're not where they belong. And Father, I would ask that you help us all to be Christians that will strive to be like Jesus, and that we will be sitting here hungering and thirsting for your presence, hungering and thirsting for your soon return, that we can say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And I pray that over this body this morning, this people within this church, I pray now, Lord, that your blessings will go within each home, that you will bless each home financially, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally. But Lord, that you will help us to be people of God. And we thank you for allowing us to come together to worship you, the mighty God, this day. And we commit the rest of this day to you, Lord. And we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And have some good fellowship. And I'll stay up here a little bit and pray for anyone who would like prayer also. But hey, the Lord bless you and be excited about Jesus. Be excited about Jesus. Praise the Lord.